League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I think of him as an all-around quarterback, you know, somebody who can, you know, make all the throws, can also, you know, run the ball dynamically and, you know, be effective in that area. Somebody who, you know, has bought into that offense. Watching him in preseason, you know, he looked like he was clicking on all cylinders. Like he's processing the game a lot better, you know, and just taking his reads, taking what the defense is giving him. And we have a relationship. You know, he's definitely a good friend of mine and somebody who I root on. When we're not playing him, but definitely somebody who I've gotten gotten to know over the years and definitely have a friendship with him that I think will last a long time.
That's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud talking about Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson. I don't like hearing any of that at the end. I don't like any of that. I get it. 2024, players are more friendly with their opponents. But, dude, you're rooting for him? He's in your division. You shouldn't be rooting for him in your division. You can root for somebody in life, but come on. You want the Colts to do bad.
I think if he's not in the division, it's fine. I think if it's like him talking about Bryce Young or him talking about even an AFC quarterback who's just not in the division. If he says that about Bo Nix, I'm like, cool. But division is tough.
Yeah.
I get it. Draft class, they probably were hanging out, stuff, working out together.
Exactly.
Don't love it.
I'm sure they're friends. You can wish bad things to happen to your friends. I'm not saying death or dismemberment or anything like that. I mean, you can root for the team that they're on that you compete with to suck, right?
Yeah. There's also part of it where this happens in boxing or in UFC a lot, where after the, like, going into the fight, they're talking smack. In the fight, they're fighting, they're talking smack, they're giving their all. And then the second the fight ends, they're like hugging each other and like having this conversation with their arms around each other's waist for 90 seconds after the fight. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, at least let me, don't immediately be like, nope, we're friends. No, I want to believe that they don't like each other.
But I mean, something like that where you bond through just mauling each other to death, as you were saying, like, that is understandable.
But keep it out of the cage.
No, I get it. I mean, listen, your brain's so damaged probably by the end of those things. I mean, like, you don't even know what's going on anyway.
Yeah, I want to believe that they actually don't like each other.
Is it a hug? Is it? Well, how about this, Sean? How about you try to convince yourself that this person is literally just trying to stand up, and that's why he's hugging the nearest person he sees.
Maybe.
He's like, I don't know where I am. Yeah. I can't stand
anymore.
He's
Rocky yelling for Adrian.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So, just a nitpick there. I think C.J. Stroud, if we're being honest here, You want Anthony Richardson to perhaps perform well and for the Colts to suck. For E.J. Speed, for Zaire Franklin, the guys who you've been going back and forth with this offseason, playing in this bum-ass city that you described as such, you want them to struggle. Last night, the NFL season kicked off. It was a great game. The Chiefs, two-time defending Super Bowl champions, held on against the Ravens for a 27-20 victory. It was an interesting game. The very end, Lamar Jackson hit Isaiah Likely, I guess the new Ravens tight end, in the back of the end zone for what looked like it could be a touchdown that would set the Ravens up for a two-point attempt with no time left for the lead and the win. It would have been 27-26, but upon replay, it was seen that Isaiah Likely's foot with a black cleat on it was on the white line. He was definitely out of bounds. I don't know why Lamar Jackson thought otherwise after probably watching the replay, but Likely was out of bounds. So Kansas City hangs on to win. Coming out of that game, if I'm the Texans, and I'm looking at those two teams who are definitely on the tier above the Texans in the AFC this year until the Texans actually beat one of those two. Baltimore, of course, smoked the Texans two times, not just once, last year. Texans didn't play the Chiefs last year, but they won the Super Bowl, and they beat the Ravens. So assume if one team beats another, and that team beats that team, you're not very good. Because they really did make Lamar Jackson look silly. But all that said, even though the Ravens beat the Texans twice last year, I'm looking at that Ravens team, and I'm looking at how much Lamar Jackson had to do to give the Ravens even a chance to win that game. He's running every play, it felt like. He's not sliding. He was playing in that game like it was a playoff game, not the first game of the year. Like he was trying to single-handedly get revenge against the Chiefs. And I thought he played great outside of a couple of missed throws. I think the person who keeps texting in saying that Lamar Jackson sucks, I think he's honestly, at this point, I think you're an idiot. I feel like I've laid it out pretty well. Jackson played really well in last night's game. He missed a couple of throws. Guess what? All quarterbacks miss a couple of throws over the course of a game. They can't all be perfect. They can't all be accurate. Sometimes they're just going to overthrow passes. They're going to miss passes. Not excuse making, just a reality. But if I'm looking at the Ravens as a Houston Texan right now, I'm thinking to myself, oh, yeah, I can take this team. Look at all the defensive lapses they had to try to cover a rookie receiver in Xavier Worthy. Kept on forgetting about him. Two easy touchdowns. Chiefs didn't even have Hollywood Brown there. And yeah, Roquan Smith had an interception, and the Ravens pass rush did a pretty good job against a good Chiefs offensive line. But I'm looking at Baltimore and all that Lamar Jackson had to do to still ultimately lose by 7 points. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I can take him. A little bit of overconfidence attached to that for sure. But based off of Thursday night entirely, if I'm the Texans, I think I can take the Ravens.
I think part of that is also that the Texans haven't actually played yet. So we don't know the...
That's true, too.
They haven't looked bad. The Texans haven't looked bad. Even in a win, they haven't given you something to nitpick quite yet. You know, we're talking about the
masculine urge to size somebody up.
Yes. And, you know, the Colts, Jonathan Taylor, you had his average yard per carry in his six career games against the Texans.
It's 5 point, I believe.
5.9, I think.
Nine.
Right? Yes. And that seems like a bad matchup for Derrick Henry, who also in the past has owned the Texans, and Lamar Jackson, who, like you said, is a great runner. So there is some natural urge to be like, yeah, see those throws? Thrown into the crowd late in the game.
Yeah, it's not DJ Oogala Googala Googala.
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
From Florida State. Well,
one of them kind of looked DJ-ish.
One of them did, but not the whole game.
No, not the whole game. He played, you know what? Lamar Jackson played better than DJ Uiagalelei.
Lamar.
But I do think that if we're talking about the Texans struggling against the run against the Colts, you have to imagine that they'll also, when that time comes, going into the Ravens game, we'll be talking about can they stop Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson on the ground, because they haven't been able to for at least Derrick Henry his entire career.
He kills them.
I think, doesn't he have more 200 yard rushing games against the Texans
I think
than like
so.
The entire NFL does since Derrick Henry's entered the league, or something crazy like that.
There's, if we're talking about Mount Rushmore of Texans murderers, it's Peyton Manning, T.Y. Hilton, Derrick Henry, and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
There's probably others. There's probably some other ones. I mean, maybe you could argue Tom Brady too if you wanted to, but
Brady killed everybody.
But yeah, they went up against Peyton Manning way more, and they never beat him. It's really incredible, like how one-sided Colts Texans was in the 2000s. But to bring it back to this, if you're a Texan and you've got that natural masculine urge to size somebody up, you're looking at the Ravens and you're thinking you can beat them, even though they beat you twice last year. You're looking at the Chiefs and you're thinking to yourself, "Damn, like that was like their C game, and they still were giving Lamar Jackson like a lot of problems in terms of they were just making him have to run regularly."
Yeah. Like, you think? Chris Jones, and well, we got Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, but Chris Jones is better. Chris Jones is best. Yeah.
No, he's better than those
guys. Chris Jones, with Aaron Donald gone, Chris Jones is the best defensive lineman, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. the interior-wise, too?
Yeah, interior-wise, yeah. I mean, I know some people are going to say, oh, TJ Watt.
Yeah, Garrett and Watt.
Miles
but
Garrett.
They kind of play different positions.
Right, exactly. Like, Chris Jones is just a force to be reckoned with in the middle of a defense, and what do you do? I don't know. You don't put a running back up against him, that's for sure.
No,
Ravens did that on two of the critical plays in last night's game.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
My years of coaching college football, I would never do that.
As my godson regularly tells me, Uncle Paul, don't do that. Don't do that.
Regularly tells you?
He tells me that, yeah.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
No, truly.
Uh-huh. We'll get your godson on. Hey, what's Uncle Paul doing that he needs to stop?
He told me the Astros stink not too long ago. Yeah, I know. I mean, he parrots everything that my brother-in-law says, but my brother-in-law told him to say, go Red Sox, Astros stink. And he said it, and he emphasized the stink. Like, Astros stink. Stink.
Doesn't know ball.
He doesn't know ball. I tried to tell him. I was like, listen, the Red Sox ownership? He had no idea what I'm talking about. He's like, I just want to play with my trucks.
Let me tell you about the Fenway ownership group.
Let me tell you about what a bunch of frauds these guys
They're
are.
Spending all their money on Liverpool now.
Yeah, don't worry. Once we get them a little bit older, I'll tell them, like, the Astros pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Let me tell you about a guy named Tito Francona.
Ooh, yeah, who they smeared. Noma, also smeared. Pedro, smeared. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch, at ESPN 975, by the way, in response to me talking about the masculine urge to size a man up. Hey, Paul, when you're out here sizing these men up, what's really going on in your mind? Come on. You know what's going on in my mind.
What size are we talking about?
Up next, our first pick segment of the year. Joe has not turned in picks, so I think we're just going to make him 0-6. I know he's dealing with a tooth issue right now. That's why he's not in today. But I think we're just going to make him 0-6. But these six games you need to watch this weekend in the world of football, we'll lay them out with the spread and who you should pick. Stick around. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one. Unbelievable.
He is gone. Kiss McKinney goodbye.
But Paul Gallant and Joe George are going to pick six games.
There's six.
Pick six.
Well, that's got pick six written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
Game you need to watch is tonight. 7:15 on Peacock. Yeah, you gotta have Peacock to watch it. And it's in Brazil. What's worse? I don't know. The Green Bay Packers, surprisingly good team last year, on the road against the reigning NFC. Wait, hang on. Yeah. They won the NFC East last year, right?
No, that's the Cowboys won.
I forgot.
Because the Eagles won in 2022, so they can't win the next year.
That's true.
Because no team's gone back-to-back.
I think the Cowboys are going to do it because the Eagles just fell apart last year. The Eagles should have won the NFC East. They were 11-1 at one point.
They really should have.
They were 11-1. My God. But the Eagles are somehow two-point favorites as the home team.
Can they get off the schneid since, what, like November of last year? They haven't won a game in so long.
It's been a while. I mean, they got their asses kicked in the playoffs by the Bucs with Baker Mayfield. Like, jeez, guys. And you got Nick Sirianni, their very underwhelming head coach, who's trying to convince these players that it's not going to be that bad. You got to embrace playing in Brazil instead of at the link for your home opener. Again, in quotation marks. Philly's a two-point favorite. This just makes no sense to me. None. There's something, perhaps, that Vegas knows that we don't know? I don't know. Because Twitter is banned in Brazil. I don't know how they're getting any information. It's a censored country. I'm taking the Packers. I think the Packers are going to win convincingly tonight.
Yeah, we agree. I do like Vic Fangio, defensive coordinator for the Eagles. But I think, ultimately, LaFleur and Love get it done. I want to see the Eagles win once before I pick them to to beat a good team.
Correct. I do too. Saturday, that's tomorrow, 11 a.m. on Fox. Number 3 Texas in Ann Arbor against the defending national champion Michigan Wolverines, who are ranked 10th. This is really the only good college football game tomorrow. I know that there's another ranked matchup between Tennessee and NC State. We'll get to that in a moment. And that there's Colorado, Nebraska. But this is the only game I think that's worth your time this weekend. Texas is a 7-point favorite. And while this game is on the road, Texas can win in Tuscaloosa. I think they can win in Ann Arbor against a Wolverines team that's trying to figure out their quarterback, that doesn't have Jim Harbaugh anymore. I understand Texas lost a lot going from last year to this year, but this is one of those games that Texas should win. And now the real question is, can they be a team that wins the games they're supposed to win, for the most part, every single week, now that there are actual expectations on their shoulders because they met them to a degree last year? I'm taking Texas to win, to cover.
We disagree. I'm taking Michigan. I think over a touchdown's asking a lot.
Okay.
You're asking to go to the defending champions. It's going to be the biggest, I think, the biggest crowd in that stadium's history.
Don't they always do that?
Yeah, I know. But
let's just add 3 more people.
It does speak to the level of this matchup. You're going to be in a hostile environment. And yes, I know they went to Tuscaloosa and won last year. But I think that a lot of people are overlooking Michigan. I think the line initially before last week's games for this game was Texas by 3.5. And then everyone saw how the two teams looked in week one and then made sweeping judgments.
Mm.
And it juiced the line all the way to 7. So I'm just – if Texas wins, I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a close game no matter what. I think Michigan has a great defense. I think they'll hold on to the ball for as long as they can. Like you mentioned, Texas has a lot of talent at the – not just at receiver, at running back too, with Brooks going to the league, Baxter getting hurt. I'm not quite ready to put them as a touchdown favorite against Michigan.
Be cocky!
No. Because Texas, they tricked off plenty of games last year that they should have won. They struggle in the red zone. They didn't struggle against Colorado State. But again, do it against Michigan. Do it against a good team. They got smaller across the board at wide receiver and at tight end. And now I'm trying to think, how are they going to, and worse at running back. Now they're going to be a better red zone team against one of the best defensive lines in the country. No thanks. Hook 'em, but by less than 7.
Okay.
By less than 7. Hook 'em by less than 7. Let's just get that hashtag going.
Hook 'em by 20. Come on.
That's part of it. As so many Texas fans that I know are way too cocky about this
game. I'm with them.
And so I am naturally defensive.
Fair enough. Saturday night, 6:30 on ABC. This is the only other college football matchup this weekend featuring two ranked teams. Number 14, Tennessee on the road against number 24, NC State. Tennessee's a 10-point favorite in this one. I am picking with my heart in this one. I hate Tennessee. I hate them. I hate the state. I hate their NFL fans, and I really hate their college football fans. Tennessee by 10? I get it. So NC State, it's the ACC. NC State's always got a bit of backbone. I think at the very least, NC State's going to cover. F Tennessee as a state, as a college, and as a mother effing crew.
Yeah, I was going to say as a staff record label. Yeah. Give me the Vols. I'm going with the Vols here. I have a ticket from Lake Charles, LaBerge, Louisiana, for Nico Iamalileva to win the Heisman. The road starts on Saturday night. That we need a big time matchup in an ABC primetime game that Paul told everyone not to watch. I need him to score big. I need him to put up some style points. Give me UT by more than 10. It is funny, I'm picking Michigan and then the other UT.
You mean the real UT, the one that the SEC is recognizing as UT.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with you. I think it's
illustrious history of Tennessee and the SEC.
Well, I mean, the illustrious history of Texas as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, what? They brought us into the conference for a reason, Paul. They're stuck with Tennessee.
That
the only
is
reason
true.
They're still in is because he can't kick anyone out.
See, there we go. We got some shots fired. Not the most dense weekend of NFL games. The two good ones for the most part are last night, where the Chiefs beat the Ravens, and tonight with the Packers and Eagles in Brazil. But Sunday at noon, in a game that you'll probably have to have Sunday ticket to watch, the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the road taking on the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are 3.5-point favorites. Jalen Ramsey's status was up in the air, but he just got a contract extension. I do expect Ramsey to be out there. Jalen Phillips also out of practice for Miami this week, so their secondary, some questions there. These are two, I think, very similar teams. They have two quarterbacks that we'd all agree are good, but we all want to see more from. They have two head coaches who are respected across NFL circles. In the case of Mike McDaniel, though, what has he done? He's always been great at the beginning of the year. In the case of Doug Peterson, it's kind of been underwhelming in Jacksonville. I think the first year was good, but they were very lucky to win that game against the Chargers. This past season, they blew an 8-3 record and missed the playoffs altogether. They finished 1-5 down the stretch. These two teams are both terrible finishers, but it's the beginning of the year, so they both should be in good shape. I like the Dolphins in September more than I like the Jaguars in September. I'm taking the Dolphins to win and cover.
Yep.
By 3.5.
I think both teams start strong, fade down the stretch. I just think the Dolphins are better. That's it really is as simple as that. I think they're starting at a higher point. You don't have a soft tissue injury for Jalen Waddle or Devon Achane, or Tyreek Hill isn't subbing himself out every other play quite yet at this part of the season. Give me the Dolphins.
Okay. Sunday Night Football, NBC, 720. The Los Angeles Rams, 4.5-point dogs in Detroit against Man Campbell, Jared Goff, and the Detroit Lions. Matt Stafford went to Detroit in the wild card round of last year's playoffs. The Rams lost 24-23. Fans booed Stafford and chanted Jared Goff. Stafford talked about the crowd, motivating factor. He says, I want to hear all of it. I want to smell it. I want it to feel like it's football. That's part of the game, especially going to an away game. This stuff just motivates me. He was 25 of 36 for 367 yards and 2 touchdowns last year in the playoffs against the Lions. I think the Rams are going to win this one. Detroit's 4.5-point favorites here. I'm taking Sean McVay and the LA Rams. I feel like there's going to be a little bit of a hangover for the Detroit Lions this year. This doesn't mean they missed the playoffs. I just feel like that's a tough one to come back from, blowing a 24-7 lead in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah. I think 4.5 is just too many points. I think that's what it is. I think this game has down to the wire, last drive written all over it. And I don't know. I don't know who's going to win it. So in that case, I'll take Detroit, or no, I'll take the Rams.
We're both taking the Rams.
Yeah, okay. I'll take the Rams because I just can't see a blowout here, or you know, a touchdown win, because that's basically what you need at 4.5.
Okay, so we're both on the same page here.
Yes, we've agreed on the last two.
We've agreed on the last two, and the last game, Sunday, noon, CBS, your Houston Texans on the road against the Indianapolis Colts, 3-point favorites.
Oh, Paul's getting a prop for the people not on stream. He's getting a prop.
What am I going to do?
I don't know what he's going to do.
That's a good question. You know what I'm going to do.
I honestly, like in most situations, I don't know what you're going to do.
I don't know what I'm going to do? Come on!
Oh.
Come on! I got my Texans starter jacket on. I got my battle red sunglasses on.
Oh, wow.
Texans Swarm! And even though there are some issues for the Texans in this Colts game that I'll talk about in the next segment, think I'm picking against the boys? Hell no. This is our year to make it to the AFC Championship game. 11-6. Texans 69, Colts 3. Heard it here first. I'm just kidding.
Nice.
I'm not going that far.
Oh,
I'm not going
covered
that far.
By a lot.
I think the Texans win this one 27-21.
Okay.
Just came up.
Are we going to have to come up? Am I going to have to come up with an exact score?
No, you don't have to. Okay. You don't have to. But what do you have?
Give me the Texans.
Hell yeah.
Like you said, I think at the end of the day, the wide receivers that the Texans can put on the field versus the Colts secondary that they're going to put on the field. I know the game is won and lost in the trenches, but you know what? The Colts had better trench play last time these two teams played. Didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
Texans got better at the wide receiver stuff. Give me
Four.
The Texans.
Swarm! Starting to get riled up. Forgot to stop by a gas station to get a tall boy. I was going to pop one open, and I realized, oh yeah, I don't have my other prop. Alcohol. So that's our pick six segment. Joe did not make any picks. We texted him asking him for picks. Joe almost didn't tell us he wasn't coming in today.
Yeah, you had to ask.
I had to ask him.
Huh. Although he did say... Last night, I think he put himself at doubtful.
Yo, you still got to rule yourself out.
I know.
But Joe's not here
today. The gamblers are waiting, you know?
I am
swings
curious.
The line.
We need to get his pick for the game tonight. So we'll send him that. And we'll keep actually track of the standings for our picks this year. We will keep track until we all look like we don't know what we're talking about. And then we'll conveniently forget them. Because that's how the real players in this industry do it. It's Gallant and George. No Joe today. Just me, Sean Mapes behind the glass. Up next, some final thoughts on the Texans and Colts. And why, even though I think the Texans win this game tomorrow, 27-21, I do think it's going to be tough. Stick around. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
DirecTV and DirecTV Stream customers, you have lost ESPN, including college football, Monday Night Football, ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball, SportsCenter, and so much more. Take action now. Call 844-KEEP-MY-ESPN or visit keepmyespn.com.
ESPN 97.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I have been complimenting the hell out of the Houston Texans for much of this offseason in lockstep with the national media as a whole. And I know a lot of Houston Texans listen to me. I am the preeminent football mind in the city of Houston because my parents had sex in Massachusetts, birthed me in Massachusetts, which allowed me to grow up watching the greatest dynasty in football history, the New England Patriots. Because I lived there due to my parents having relations there and birthing me, I know more about football than the average person. I witnessed a dynasty firsthand. I watched every game. I studied it. So I'm very complimentary of the Texans this year because I'm getting some really good vibes because C.J. Stroud does remind me of Tom Brady in a couple of different ways. But I want to make sure that the Houston Texans, who all listen to me, given that I'm the preeminent football mind here in Houston with my Texans starter jacket on, red, battle red, sunglasses on, and a tie tied around my head, you got to ignore the rat poison. And if you aren't going to take it from me, that's fine. How about take it from D'Amico Ryans, head coach of your Texans, former Houston Texan?
I hope they don't mess with rat poison. Players just got to focus on themselves and execute it. And that's it, right? It's what you're speaking of, rat poison. It's just, So what I defer to is just outside noise, right? And in today's world, it's so much at our fingertips of social media, and everybody pretty much has an opinion on something, right? Not necessarily being that it has to be true, but anybody can say anything they want, and it's news now, right? And, you know, it's a slight to you guys who put in the work, right, every day and are here and see, you know, what the guys go through on a day-to-day basis. But our guys can't get caught up into whoever is saying what on the outside. It truly doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is about you focusing on yourself and going out and proving to your teammates that you're going to be reliable. You're going to be exactly where you're supposed to be. You're going to do exactly what you're supposed to do on each and every play. And that's how we operate here.
I am thankful for the most part that there's a lot of Houston Texans who have been at these marquee programs in college. C.J. Stroud at Ohio State, Will Anderson among others at Alabama, Derek Stingley at LSU. I like that these guys have already played in high-stakes situations before, because I do feel like playing in places like that are nice barriers against enjoying the smell of your own farts, if you will. It's a good filter. And to have D'Amico Ryan saying this over and over again as well, I like it. He was just in San Francisco. It is another thing, though, to actually do this now that you are a professional team with all sorts of hype, praise, and expectations this year, plus a bunch of offseason acquisitions that make a lot of people think that you're at the very least knocking on the door of joining the two teams that we saw play in last night's game, the Chiefs and the Ravens. A lot of expectations. So we'll see, based off of how ready they look on Sunday, if rat poison has been a factor in any way, shape, or form. I don't think it will be. I really don't. I think really the biggest factor in this game is going to be how this Texans defense looks against Jonathan Taylor. There's no Christian Harris, which means that you're going to see Jake Hansen. It means that you're going to see Delshawn Phillips, guys you haven't heard of. And you're also going to see some defensive line rotation with no D'Nico Autry out there. You're hoping Mario Edwards continues to do what he's been doing in the preseason. But you have a team that was not very good at stopping the run last year, going up against a guy in Jonathan Taylor who was averaging nearly 6 yards a carry against the Texans in his career. Look it up. And we're not talking one or two games. We're talking 6 games, nearly 6 yards a carry. He killed the Texans in that last regular season game in Indianapolis last year, and he was hurt. They didn't have him on the field for the most important play of the game. I don't know why they didn't. It was stupid. The only thing I would criticize Shane Steichen for in the two Texans-Colts games, because Gardner Minshew is really the main reason the Colts lost that game. But on that one play, you had Jonathan Taylor out there. Do you convert it? Taylor's a damn good player, and you've had issues against him, and you're banged up the middle defensively, an area that was a weakness last year. Is it going to be that much different this coming season? That is really what I'm focusing on the most as a potential way where the Texans don't do what they're supposed to do. It's going to be interesting to see Jalen Petrie, who I thought also looked fantastic, especially in that game against the New York Giants in the preseason, playing in that nickel role. He was really good at run support. He was really good at clogging things up. How much of a help is he going to provide to those linebackers? Is it fair to expect a nickel corner to slow down a running back like Jonathan Taylor? It's asking a lot, isn't it? He might be capable of doing it. I mean, he looked great, but that was against a Giants offense, which might be the worst in the NFL this year, with Daniel Jones under center, that is basically saying, like, hey, Devin Singletary, figure it out. Our offensive line sucks. Daniel Jones sucks. Figure it out. A different thing entirely when you're going up against a Colts team that does have some weapons. But on the bright side, this is some good news for the Texans against the Colts. Josh Downs, who is probably their number three wide receiver, maybe he's the number two, depending on where Adonai Mitchell is at this point, the rookie receiver that they drafted out of Texas. The Colts offense will be without Downs. It looks like he has missed practice all week. Also, their kicker, Matt Gay, has missed practice all week too. So they might have to throw some rando out on the streets. And as we saw with the Texans against the Jaguars last year, Matt Amendola was the difference between the Texans sweeping the Jaguars and splitting it with the Jaguars last year. And honestly, he was the reason that we were sweating it out a little bit about whether or not the Texans would make the playoffs that last game of the year. The other concern I have for Texans Colts, I think Indy's front seven is really good defensively. They have DeForest Buckner. They have what's his name?
Got it.
Thank you. Did I actually get it? Or are you being sarcastic?
No.
Oh, okay. They got that.
I just hear people say Latu.
They got Latu, the defensive lineman out of
UCLA.
He's everyone loves. They have another pass rusher at 8.5 sacks, whose name's eluding me. It's not big names on the Colts front seven. It's a good front seven, though. And the Texans offense really struggled to move the ball last year in Indy. They struggled. Different circumstances. There's a Stephon Diggs. There's a healthy Tank Dell, both of whom have looked good this training camp. You still have Nico Collins. But that front seven for Indianapolis gave you some issues. Those are my two concerns because I haven't seen this Texans offensive line working together in a real game yet. Haven't seen it. Maybe they will be good. But I think we have to see it before we believe it's going to be a weekly thing when they're at full health. Speaking of Stephon Diggs, Diggs continues to praise the bleep out of his new home. Here he is, courtesy of Aaron Wilson, KPRC, Channel 2, talking about how much he loves it here.
I mean, that's kind of hard to say. I always believe in where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there. My feet are right here. This is where I'm at. I don't talk bad about my old girlfriend. I make my new girlfriend feel good. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a good fit, too. Some great people over there. But being here, this is where I am right now. This is where God placed me. And it's amazing people here. You know what I'm saying? As far as, like, it being a good fit, this is where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? This is where I'm placed. It is some great people here. I can't say that's a lot of Southern hospitality here, even on this team, even around the building. I'm just happy to be where I am. I can't say it enough.
God put him here. He's happy to be here. Can't say it enough. Southern hospitality. There is something about this place. This Houston, Texas. Texas
Swarm! I do like that Stephon Diggs does a lot of, it's like a girl. Does a lot of metaphors that are like, it's like dating someone.
He brought this up a couple of times, how he's not going to talk ill about Buffalo because it's like talking about an ex-girlfriend. But I agree with that. You don't do that. It's bitter.
He's right. But I like the way that he frames it, like you're saying with the GQ article from earlier this week, where he's like, women look at your smile and your shoes. That's all they care about.
Do care about your shoes. I got to upgrade my shoes. Still haven't heard back from from Gal.
Was there a chance that NASA was the right one?
I hope not. Like, that's the one definitively no. I've been to NASA before. It's very underwhelming. And also, there's an Angry Birds exhibit in there. What are we doing? What are we doing? It's NASA. Oh, but there's an Angry Birds playpen. What? I don't know if it's still there. I haven't been there in a decade.
I was gonna say.
But the last time hopefully they've added something a little more current in there. But
it's gonna be like Minions or something.
It was.
That's what it'll be. It'll be Minions. It'll be a Minions thing.
It was cool, but it was underwhelming considering how far away of a drive it is. You know, League City's a bit of a drive. What, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that. It's a bit of a drive. I don't think it was worth it. And then I got really mad the next year when I saw in Hard Knocks how the Texans got like a VIP tour where they were on the moon buggies, like driving around, like doing donuts and stuff. I was like, where was that? Where was that for me? I get it. I'm not a football player. I'm just a radio host. But I wanted that.
The drinking beers with Buzz Aldrin. You're like, what the
yeah.
hell?
Yeah. I want to go like around town with Buzz Aldrin looking for moon landing conspiracy theorists, and we'll just sock him in the face and get away with it because we're American heroes. I would be one by proxy.
Yeah.
He actually.
You get the cosign.
Right.
Get in, kid.
It's my favorite thing ever. Some one of these like just dweebs goes up to him and he just gets rocked in the face. How dare you question the like most brave Americans of the 1960s?
It's a big like, yeah, the internet's different than real life, and Buzz Aldrin is a very real life person.
100%. Come on. All right, we're going to wrap things up with some final thoughts on Texans and Colts and a garbage time segment. Next, it's Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about what's going on tomorrow. It's the Red Bull Show Run. Vroom, vroom. I think that's what F1 sounds like. I've never actually been to an F1 event, but if you're F1 curious like me, you know what? You got to go to Discovery Green tomorrow. Things get started at 10, and they're going to be running, I believe, until 3 o'clock. You want to get there at like 9, though. You want to get there early so you can park, and you're going to see racing simulators. You're going to see true F1 racing up close, exhibition style, taking turns around the streets of Discovery Green, the sights, the sounds, the engine starts, some F1 drivers. It's going to be a blast. And you want to check it out, thanks to our friends at Red Bull, at Discovery Green tomorrow. Red Bull and F1. What a team. What a matchup. What a time tomorrow at Discovery Green.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Galant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Last chance to dance. Just Paul, no Joe. Joe's getting his tooth fixed. Sean Mapes behind the glass. The football game tonight in Brazil between the Eagles and Packers. Eagles were 2-point favorites. Might have an interesting wrinkle that could explain why the Eagles are the favorites. The Eagles got a hotel stay close to the stadium. The Packers, on the other hand, have a game day commute of 1.5 to 2 hours. What is this? That's some amateur hour stuff by the People's Republic of Green Bay. Classic communists not spending the money they should.
Do they not have two hotels in Sao Paulo?
I guess not.
No, they have to have two hotels.
Maybe not two safe ones. Well, listen, I don't know. Brazil's a dump. I get it. Like, Rio de Janeiro.
That is something. I think people would be more up on this if they're in Rio, just because it's a place that's hosted the Olympics.
Yeah. Right. I have no idea where Sao Paulo is. I don't know. I don't care. I just think that it's ridiculous that we're hosting football games there. Also, some Eagles fans are going viral. Of course they are. Imagine it's not the day of the game, and you're walking around Brazil, and you got an Eagles jersey on. Okay, that's fine, even though the gangs, apparently, they don't like it when you wear green. But you've also got a green mohawk. You've painted your entire bald head white, except for a green stripe where your eyes are, and a green circle where your mouth is. This guy looks straight up like the people that are doing meth in Mad Max Fury Road. The Hellboys.
I was about to say, they sound that's who they sound like.
He looks like a Hellboy. I do want to see some police reports about drunken Eagles fans in Brazil. I just want to see them. I feel like an Eagles fan could hold their own for the most part in Brazil, but you never know. And it's crazy that the NFL is hosting games here.
Of fan bases to take to Brazil.
That's the number one. That's the only fan base that I feel could hold a candle to the hooligans of Europe.
Yeah.
That's the only one in the United States of America.
Maybe
that's
like
it.
Raiders back in the day. I don't know.
Some
I don't know.
Raiders.
The Vegas Raider fans. I don't know.
Some Raiders fans, some Dodgers fans, some LA fans, but as a city, like, this is the one that's going to outwardly show how much they like their team and also start some fights because of it. I have the Texans winning 27-21. in their game against the Colts. I think it's going to be tougher than we think, but I do think that they cover. They're 3-point favorites, mybookie.ag. Let's do a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Linkin Park has a new front lady. Yeah. Their lead singer passed away. They're replacing him with a woman named Emily Armstrong. It's Chester Bennington, right? Who was the last one? I'm sorry. I don't really know the names of these guys.
I know his first name was Chester.
I think it was Chester Bennington, but he was the front man for Linkin Park. Crawling in my skin! I mean, I understand the backlash at first to a woman taking over. This is what she sounds like, Emily Armstrong, in her first ever appearance as the front lady for Linkin Park. First, it sounded like Chester Bennington a little bit. No? A little bit? I'm not talking about Chris Cornell here. No offense to the late Chester Bennington. Linkin Park, a lot of bangers, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm saying that that's that hard to do. I think I could do it.
Yeah, the yelling, or I don't know. Calling it yelling's, I think, dismissive. But, you know, the scream singing, I can't really tell the difference what's good, what's bad. I'll be honest.
I've become so numb.
Yeah, halfway through, I'm just like, this is just someone yelling.
Yeah. So there's a lot of backlash to that, but I don't know. I didn't think that was bad. Also, one last one before we hit the road. We talked about Eagles fans earlier. Phillies fans a little less loyal, specifically this Phillies fan who claims that she had a little fling with a Philadelphia Philly player.
Put a finger down if you were so madly in love with one of the Phillies players that you used to DM him all the time telling him how in love with him you were, and you never thought he would ever see those messages, but he did. And not only did he see them, but he responded to them, and he was like, hey, do you have a Snapchat? And you were like, no, I don't have a Snapchat. So you created one specifically for him, and you guys are Snapchatting back and forth for a few days while you keep telling him how in love with him you are. And then he proceeds to invite you over to his house. So you go to his house and you sleep over and you spend time with him with no protection at all. And then the month preceding after that, you try and keep talking to him because you're so fucking delusional that you don't realize.
Yeah, I forgot. You can't swear, lady. You can't swear. That's my fault, Sean. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I could tell once we got to the protection part.
I was like, uh-oh.
I could see that took you by surprise. Uh-oh. And that's what I was like, oh.
Here it comes.
There might be a surprise later.
Well, she sounds better. I think it's safe to say. She's a little better.
Yeah. And I will say she did act like I made a Snapchat specifically for him. I'm like, all right, okay, lady, that's not that big. You downloaded an app and put in your email. That's not crazy. You didn't. You did anything insane.
Relax. Here. Relax, toots.
Yeah. And yeah, I can't believe Kyle Schwarber did that to you.
We don't know that for sure.
Nope. That's all speculation.
Sean's just joshing around. And on that note, big thanks to everybody who tuned in, our Twitchers, our YouTubers, our radio listeners, 97.5, 92.5, 97.9 HD2. For Sean Mapes and for a hopefully toothed Joe George, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend, Texas
Swarm!
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.